a kind of a comprehensive system that was not used prior to that. It was a system that could control all devils. It dominated over the oppressors. And finally, this system, which had enough military force and also enough elements of information and some people who had sufficient awareness and skill in different fields, and it had gathered all of those elements under the cap of belief in monotheism. That's why this system could work at its best to reach its aims, the aims that we discussed in our previous subject of discussion, the relationship between religion and politics. So, since the aim and direction of this system was towards divinity and divine matters, this system worked at its best. There is also another matter to be discussed regarding this verse, dear listeners, which we will discuss later on. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Alhamdulillah, with the blessing of the holy month of Ramadan, we had this opportunity to not only recite Dua Iftitah, which is the dua coming from the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Fajr Sharif. We also got the opportunity to discuss some of the main features of this dua. I'd broken it down into 7 parts. Unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to finish the whole thing. We have covered till the 3rd, and we were into the 4th part yesterday, where the Imam talks about 12 praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning with the words Alhamdulillah, which essentially basically means that Allah is free from all weakness, imperfection, impurity. We will look at some of those hamd and praise tonight as a conclusion of our discussion. So coming to that section where there are 12 alhamd, Again, this is something that I would like to focus on one of them. Alhamdulillah, الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب عامله. Again, the same issue is coming up. That all praise is for Allah. لا يهتك حجابه. His hijab and satr on us. His covering on our defects and our weaknesses and our sins can never be opened up. Nobody can violate that. If Allah is a satir, that is guaranteed. So again, this issue is being repeated. But then what I would like to focus is the second sentence, وَلَا يُغْلَقُ بَابُ. His doors cannot be shut down. And he does not reject the one who begs of him, and he does not disappoint the one who places hope in him. لَا يُغْلَقُ بَابُ. Allah's door is never ever closed. I said this many, many times. What does tawbah mean? Tawbah means to repent, to ask for forgiveness. In Arabic, these words have a literal meaning and a technical meaning. Technical meaning is forgiveness, repentance, asking for forgiveness. Literal meaning of tawbah is to return. And there is a connection between literal meaning and the technical meaning. And the connection is that when we commit sin, we have moved away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't go anywhere, He's there. When we do tawbah, we spiritually are coming back to Him. His door was open before. His door was open when I was committing a sin. And His door is still open when I turn back and go to Him. His door is never closed. And, you know, وَلَا يُرَدُّ سَائِلُهُ. Somebody who comes begging at his door, he does not just turn him away just like that. And when we talk about this issue, لَا يُغْلَقُ بَابُهُ, you know, it is 24 hours, 7 days of the week. There are no fixed hours, you know, only office hours. Before Zuhr, after Zuhr, for example. It's nothing like that. You know, it is open 24 hours. There is no need for any appointment. There is nobody in between. You don't even need to call up someone that I want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no issue of getting a translator. Talk to him in the language that you know. It doesn't have to be Arabic. You can call him wherever you are. Remember we recited one example where the sixth imam was saying, even when you are in the washroom, when you relieve yourself, say Alhamdulillah. So there is no limitation of time, space, language, you know, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we come to realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the perspective of Islam, which has come to us from the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam. This is an issue that, you know, we have to realize that sometimes we are told, oh, you people only talk about Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Well, we talked 5 nights only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is, when we even talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as introduced to us by Muhammadun Rasulullah. We communicate with him in the language given to us by Amir al-Mu'mineen. In the style given to us in Dua Arafah by Imam Hussain alayhi salam. In the book like Saif al-Sajjadiyah from the fourth Imam. Or this Dua Iftitah that we have from our present Imam. Almost 60% of this Dua deals with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Him, to know His greatness, you know, His grace and bounties and blessings upon us. And so, yes, we believe in Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, but we believe in Muhammad as the messenger and the imams, as the true successors of the Prophet appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't take the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we insist that we believe in Allah of Muhammad. We believe in Allah of Ali. We believe in Allah of Hussein. We believe in the God of Imam Mahdi Jalallahu Ta'ala Faraj Sharif. We don't want to go through the path or the channels where we end up believing that on the day of Qiyamah, when the evildoer are put in the Jahannam, there is an ayat in the Quran where the Jahannam will say, Hal mil mazid? Is there any more? It's never enough. And we are told Allah will put His leg into Jahannam to satisfy the Jahannam. We don't want to believe in a God like that. We want to believe in the God as explained by Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'in. We need to appreciate this treasure that we have in form of the du'as. This is not found anywhere else. Let me end with a story from a friend of mine in Vancouver, an Iraqi Shia, a learned person. He says once he was in a gathering of the Arabs, mostly from other madhahib, and the issue of, you know, dua came up. They said, you know, would somebody sit down and recite a dua? By chance, probably he was carrying the Kumail's booklet with himself. He took it out and started reciting. Everybody there was Arab. And they were so much impressed by the language, the choice of words, the expression there in this dua. They all rushed to him at the end. They said, where did you get this? We never heard this before. But he said, part is as soon as he said, this is from Ali. They moved away. So they liked the message. The way Amir al-Mu'mineen is teaching us how to communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I don't know why the name of Ali became a hurdle for them to accept that reality. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go through the teachings of the Quran and the sayings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. ليتك دوما قريب, ليتك دوما قريب.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today. Africa Today.
Libya is a North African country frequently in the news over its political stalemate. The country has two competing governments, the Tripoli-based High State Council and the House of Representatives in the eastern city of Tobruk. The Aripos of these two sides will unite for the good of the country. Libya is also at the center of a migrant crisis. The total number of migrants landed in Italy from Libya last year was approximately 51,700, of which 16,500 came from the eastern region of Libya. This country is also one of the richest countries in Africa in terms of oil reserves. Libya is now trying to ramp up its petroleum output and draw foreign investors back to its vast oil fields. Meanwhile, amid the U.S.-Israeli genocide on Gaza, Libya has voiced support for the measures taken by the International Court of Justice, ICJ, to prevent genocide in the Gaza Strip. Elsewhere, under the deposed dictator Muammar Gaddafi, controversial incidents took place in Libya, including the disappearance of Lebanese scholar Imam Moussa Sadr. Internationally, Libya enjoys cordial ties with many countries, including Iran. Officials say the cooperation between these two Muslim nations are on the right track and can develop in various fields.
An interview with the Libyan ambassador to Iran.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a warm welcome to Africa Today. This week, we have a special guest to discuss issues relating to Libya. We are honored to have with us here in the studio His Excellency Ali Juma Al-Obeidi, the ambassador of Libya to Iran. Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador, for your time.
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of God, I have to thank Press TV for this opportunity that has been provided for me to explain the Libyan stance regarding regional and international issues.
Let's start off with the Iran-Libya relations. What is the current status of ties between these two friendly countries?
Diplomatic relations between the two sides have developed immensely. They have reached levels that can only be described as outstanding, which is caused by various factors. The most prominent being the desire of the two countries to strengthen these alliances because developing positive relations between countries of the Islamic world makes them stronger and more resilient. During my time in Tehran, I worked on decreasing the sources of tension and developing relations in the interest of my country, Libya, and also the interest of the cordial Iran and the Arab and Islamic region in general.
Mr. Ambassador, countries are more inclined towards trade. Now, what is the current status of trade ties between Iran and Libya? Are there plans to boost ties in this regard?
Trade relations between the two countries are developing at a slow pace. This is not caused by the Libyan side, since we are open to developing economic relations with Iran, who are friendly. But the Iranian side has some hesitation, or what can be described as not daring to enter quickly and firmly into the Libyan market. We are a country emerging from a war. Therefore, anyone who does not secure their place economically with us will not find a foothold in the future. On that account, the brothers in Iran must be aware of this matter. It is worth noting that Libya is a country rich in diverse economic opportunities. It is possible for Iran, which possesses experience and development in many fields, to summon up Iranian businessmen who will find many job opportunities, starting with medium investments that do not require large capital all the way to strategic investments, which Libya desperately needs.
I understand you have written a book, and this book is about relations between Arab countries and Iran. Can you tell us more about this book which you have written?
This book was published in 2023 and talks about the relations between Iran and some Arab countries such as Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia and Palestine. I have divided the relations into two parts, the Shah's era and after the Islamic Revolution.
When you presented your credentials to Iran's President Raisi, he said that the problems of Libya and some Islamic countries are caused by the presence of interference of foreigners. What's your opinion on this point?
Certainly, the presence of foreigners in our region is not welcome. It is a source of anxiety and tension. But what is the alternative? This question must be posed to all active forces in the region. these forces must conduct rounds of dialogue and understanding amongst themselves to prevent foreigners from interfering. There is a proverb that says, the people of Mecca know best about its paths. The people of the Arab and Islamic region know best how to resolve their conflicts, which is contingent on direct understandings and the diffusal of any tension in the region. For example, we in Libya, despite all the religious, social, political and cultural rapprochement with our neighbors in the ocean, have some disagreements, let alone countries that are somewhat different in many aspects. Therefore, this matter must be taken into account and understood. Disputes are resolved with understanding, not by postponing them.
Mr. Ambassador, let's move on to the situation inside Libya. Now, many in Africa love Libya and hope to see a lasting peace and stability in this country. Now, what is the state of politics in terms of creating conditions for holding national elections and forming an inclusive government which will bring together all Libyans?
Libyan history testifies that Libya was a place of friendship with the African and Arab surroundings. It was looking for calm in Africa because it is a continent rich in human and material resources. As for the political conditions in the country, right now, the various Libyan parties, and I will not describe them as conflicting ones since the conflict is over, thank God, now there are only differences of opinion. Thus, the differences between the two sides began to be resolved, and the groundwork for holding elections is beginning to take shape, but the realization of this depends on the seriousness of the Libyan political parties.
An interview with the Libyan ambassador to Iran.
You're listening to Africa Today. Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Now, Mr. Ambassador, there's been talk about uniting the rival factions in Tobruk and Tripoli. Can we expect good news in the near future regarding this?
Yes, we will see positive news in this subject in the near future. The ice of differences between the two sides began to melt, especially after the Derna disaster and how the Libyan people and politicians in the country came to help. They forgot their differences and past pains.
Okay, yes. Thank you for that, Mr. Ambassador. Now, let's move on to the issue of Palestine, which we know right now is the number one issue in the world. In Libya, we have seen, has voiced support to the measures taken by the International Court of Justice to prevent genocide in Gaza Strip through the case presented by South Africa. Now, can you tell us what your country is doing to ensure that the Israeli regime complies with this ruling by the ICJ?
Our country and most Arab, Islamic and even international countries do not have authority over the Israeli occupation to prevent it from committing crimes and make it comply with international rulings. This entity has been evading United Nations resolutions since the year 1948, but our country can use its relations with foreign countries to push them to taking measures and steps against the occupying entity to comply with the decisions of the international court and stop its crimes.
Thank you for that. Now, Mr. Ambassador, Libya's High State Council has called for cutting ties with those backing the Israeli regime in its war on Gaza. Now, and it's, the council has also called for halting of oil exports to countries supporting the Israeli offensive on Gaza. Now, has Libya taken any specific step in this regard?
Sayyid Mubarak.
Never think that the Libyan state calls for something and does not do it. What distinguishes the Libyan state throughout the ages is that it does not compromise, it commands righteousness and implements it. We must know that Libya, from a practical standpoint, is in a state of complete hostility with the occupying entity, and its citizens are denied any form of recognition, and the normalization of its citizens and its official and unofficial institutions is not permitted.
So Libya is totally opposed to the normalization of ties with the Israeli regime.
Our position is clear, government and people included. We are against this entity and the normalization of it and anything that distracts from the rights of the Palestinian people. By the way, Libya has always been in favor of free causes and with the rights of the people to decide their fate and to stop the injustice against them, whether in occupied Palestine, in Africa, or even in South America.
Libya is always in the news, mostly because of also illegal immigrants coming from Africa and using the Libyan Mediterranean coast to enter Europe. I'm sure this is an enormous challenge for Libya. How is your country handling this issue?
First, I must clarify an important point, which is Libya does not take a single dollar from any European country to prevent immigration or put an end to it, unlike many countries in the world that take money for this, even indirectly, such as aid and things like that nature. As for the subject of illegal immigration, we have been suffering from it for decades. It's a major challenge for our country because whoever sets foot in it does so illegally and exits the same way, and therefore this is a major security and economic challenge. Libya has played an important role in reducing illegal immigration by developing its security and military equipment and confront the networks operating in this field. Illegal immigration is not only a Libyan problem. Let me clarify that Libya is not a country for settling down, but it's a transit country. In this matter, it's committed to what is required by the international laws regulating the matter. In addition, it rejects any form of dictations, interventions, or requirements that harm its interests. Especially the rumors about the possibility of resettlement or something like that.
Thank you for that, Mr. Ambassador. Now, let's move to the oil sector in Libya. You know, Libya is an oil-rich country. And previously, I think in the 1970s or 80s, your production was almost 3.4 million barrels a day. And the current production stands only at 32% of its peak. And Libya, I think, is now 18th in the world in terms of oil production, despite its massive reserves. So what steps have you taken to boost oil production?
During the war, the sector has seen very difficulties, and it was natural at that time. In addition, this sector developed very rapidly. Because of the war, we fell behind in the international market, but we have a realistic plan right now in order to reopen, establish and develop oil fields and refineries.
Mr. Ambassador, we know Libya is an oil-rich country and it has some of the largest oil reserves in Africa, and it once produced 3.4 million barrels a day, but now the production has gone, has decreased significantly. What steps are you taking to increase this production?
During the war period, our energy sector was greatly damaged. This is normal because we were in the vortex of war. In addition, this sector is developing rapidly, and for that reason, we delayed it because of the war. The lack of maintenance of oil and gas refineries delayed us greatly in the energy market, but we have a realistic plan to redevelop and maintain the fields. Opening new refineries will return Libya to the top countries in energy exports.
Mr. Ambassador, now regarding the oil production issue, we know that Iran has attained a level of almost self-sufficiency in oil production. Now, do you plan to use the know-how of Iran in boosting your oil production instead of relying on oil multinationals from Western countries?
We welcome any cooperation with any friendly country, especially Iran, with which share a common history, and the things that unite us outweigh those that divide us with them. Of course, we hope to use the benefits of Iran's experience and try to transfer it to our country. We hope that the level of cooperation between us and Iran will reach this level as our cooperation with the friendly country Italy has.
Now, Mr. Ambassador, our last question. Recently, a Libyan delegation visited Beirut to discuss with the Lebanese authorities regarding the fate of a prominent Lebanese Islamic scholar, Imam Musa Sadr, who disappeared in Libya decades ago. Now, can you tell us more about the fate of this file and how much progress you have made in resolving it?
It is necessary to resolve this subject, especially since it is a legacy left behind by the previous regime. It's also important to develop relations with Lebanon, which we hope that calm and stability will prevail in it. As for the issue of Imam Musa al-Sadr, it is amongst the sensitive security subjects which we cannot reveal everything related to it at the moment, but what I can tell you is that the issue will be resolved soon, God willing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador, for your time today and for answering our questions in this program. It's been a pleasure having you in our program.
Thank you. Merci. Khayli Mamnoun.
And that's it for this week's edition of Africa Today. We had a special guest today, His Excellency Ali Juma Al-Ubaidi, the Ambassador of Libya to Iran. It's Bring It. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize movies with religious or spiritual themes. One of those movies that we've started criticizing from a couple of episodes ago was called Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, produced in 2006. The whole story is revolving around the high school teacher who loses his job and decides to go to Peru looking for a manuscript, leads him, in fact, to a kind of a spiritual awakening. Well, for that, I've invited my friends, again, as the guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Again, shukran for having us.
Thank you very much. Before me asking you questions regarding this movie or how we can criticize it, in fact, or continue doing so, by picking up the questions from the last episodes onwards, let's take a short listen to a part of this movie, Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, and then we'll be back with the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
fingers together like this.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're going to look at the space between your fingers.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speaker, Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, who helped me criticize the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni. Syed Abdullah, we, in the last episode, talked about how important it is to talk about synchronicity, especially, this is a subject which has been, in fact, touched on by some philosophers or even psychologists such as Carl Jung. Well, and it's, synchronicity played a central theme in this movie, Celestine Prophecy. But we also know that if you think that everything is synchronous, or has to be in sync with something else, or there's always meaning to or behind the co-occurrence of events or phenomena, then this question is posed. Like, how can you discern between synchronicity of events and superstition? What are, let's say, the potential dangers of relying too heavily on the concept of synchronicity?
When it comes to synchronicity, it depends on who uses it, because if a person heavily relies on it and he believes that every coincidence will lead to another, and based on that, they form their judgment and how they live their life. So this first thing that's going to happen is they will have misinterpretation of things. So I see something and I would interpret it my own way, and based on that interpretation, I make a decision, and I could make a really horrible decision. Mm-hmm. So based on this interpretation, it will lead me to making wrong, rational decisions. So that would definitely get me in a lot of messed up waters. And then if this keeps going, it might turn into a faith or a cult, or like you said, then it's become superstitious, where I rely on that. So the Arabs back in the day, the pagans used to have it, so especially when it comes to the crows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he frowns upon this act in the Quran, where they, if this happens, if you're going to trouble and then a crow comes up, you see a crow in your way.
Because it's black, and then represents something like darkness and evil.
Yeah, so something bad is going to happen, therefore I'm not going to follow it. And these kind of things. So if it becomes so much so that a person becomes, his whole life becomes based on this synchronicity where he has to interpret things, then obviously they're going to have a very miserable life. It's exactly. Like I said, the rationality that will go down will decrease, the reasoning will decrease, they will be isolated, they will be, I don't know, even people might think badly of them, people would label them, it might have a psychological impact on them, mentally, physically, because if this is how you're going to run your life based on coincidence that happens and then you measure upon it, that's a very terrible way of living life.
Yes, true.
So even though in Islam we do say things happen for a reason, but most of the times we say we don't know what the reason is.
Yeah.
Just go with the flow, do what you meant to be done. There are certain things we've been told, okay, this is bad, this is good. We just go by the textbook, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much, Syed Abdullah. Let's take a break by listening to a short part of the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Father Sanchez, John, come here. I found something in the translations. Look at this. This phrase, Birvuta Bozim Maita.
What does it mean?
It means roughly to amplify. I thought it just referred to one person giving energy to another. But now I think it's something more.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers in the studio, helping me criticize the movie Celestine Prophecy, produced in 2006, directed by Armand Mastroianni. Brother Yasser, what's the movie's message about the nature of reality and the relationship between the physical and the spiritual realms?
I think the movie is quite clear in its message, in that there is a relationship between the physical and the spiritual realm, and that it can be seen, which is also something that we may agree with to a certain extent, that beauty in all things can be seen. It is mentioned that Allama Tabatabai, the great Islamic scholar and author of the great exegesis on the Holy Quran, on the glorious Quran, Al-Mizan, he would sit for, you know, for a period of time,
yes,
at the pond of the Hujjatiya school and just look at flowers.
Mm. Yes.
He would just look at flowers and admire the beauty in the flowers, because in beauty he would abstract the name of Jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jamal and beauty is something that all humans are attracted to.
Yes.
Especially if it's the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you had scholars who would do such a thing like this. Therefore, within every single physical being, one of the things, unfortunately, that, you know, many of these movies and even us as Muslims have failed to understand, is that it is not that when you leave one world and go to the next realm, you have separated yourself from one realm. No. Is that, my example I remember that were given is that, for example, if you point at a particular person and you say, this person, for example, is, for example, where we are, this person is Qummi. This person is Iranian, this person is based in the Middle East, this person is human, this person is this person is that. It is all within the same person,
mm-hmm.
the same point, that he has, you are just looking at it from a different view, from a different angle, or as they say, a different haith,
right.
a different mode. Right? So you are not actually separated from anything. So even here, for example, with terms of the physical and the spiritual realms, like, for example, in the movie showed it that they became invisible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not something that, you know, you may agree on. Is that a person, while still being in the physical realm, has the ability to both, like, for example, the great scholars and obviously the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, we have this, for example, when Imam Al-Islam gave his ring to the poor person. And if you read the tafsir that some of the great philosophers have given, is that the reason the Imam was able to do that is because while he was connected to the divine realm, he was also connected to the physical and material realm.
Right.
Therefore, for him, there was no difference between the two realms. For a person like Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Right? So there's no difference between them. But yes, there is a relationship and there is an interaction. Like I mentioned, there is an intertwining.
Mm-hmm.
They are engulfed in one another.
I
mean, the lower in the higher and so on and so forth.
Thank you very much, Brother Theo, sir. Let's take a break by listening to a short part of the movie Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, produced in 2006. And then we'll continue our program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
You should have come with me before, when I gave you the chance.
You're going to destroy the ruins, aren't you?
Let's just say there are people out there who want certain things to happen. Your prophecy isn't one of them. How did you think this would end, huh?
If you only knew what the prophecy says, how the world really is.
The world is the way it is because we make it that way. When there's prosperity, we create it. When there's war, well, sometimes war can be useful too.
You want to destroy this democracy?
Not destroy. Limit. Progress depends on people's willingness to be led. The world has changed. Religious fanatics are threatening everything. Now this prophecy pops up again after hundreds of years.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, produced in 2006. Sayyid Abdullah, how does the movie's portrayal of spirituality compare to other spiritual traditions and beliefs and religion?
The movie heavily emphasizes on the fact that spirituality is a personal discovery, is a personal thing. You don't need anyone else to take you through that journey compared to the institutional spirituality, where it is, you have to follow certain guidelines,
mm-hmm.
whether it is a Christianity or Islam. So the movie says, no, you could actually worship God, or at least not worship God, reach that personal advancement, that's personal spirituality yourself without the need of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a concept. It's very well ingrained into the Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age kind of religions.
Right.
What they say a person can themselves go through that spiritual stage without the need of that doctrines, religions, or what have you. So they're trying to push that element, and obviously using that synchronicity to prove that a person can do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spiritual evolution that a person can do himself. It's a direct experience that a person can do himself. It's a moral and ethical code that a person can do himself. So basically, you're no longer in need of any doctrine or any institution, any religion. This is a personal growth. This is simply you bringing yourself to a new level, bringing to yourself to a new you, what these are not required. And this is what they're trying to say.
An updated version, you mean?
Yeah, so they said the new version of yourself. So basically, if it's anything, it's one of these new age methods of living life, for disconnect from yourself, from everything, look at the bigger picture, connect with the universe, use your energy, use that positivity.
What's wrong with it then?
See, there's nothing wrong with it, but it should not be part of your life. It should not be your doctrine in life. You cannot base your life on coincidence and energy.
But you can
energy.
Take advantage of these teachings.
Definitely. Differently. It's good from time to time to rewind and unwind yourself and connect with things around you.
Right.
But don't let it consume you. Mm-hmm. It's not the way of life. So me as a Muslim, for example, I go by the rules of God. I pray, I fast, I do everything. But there are times where I need to relax myself, need to do meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by all means. Islam does not go against meditation. Islam said, on the contrary, meditate. That's mm-hmm. why you have people going to the deserts for a while, for
exactly.
a few days, go to the
Especially
farms.
The mystics do that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So you need this khalwa, as we say it. You need to unwind.
And do muraqabah.
Yeah, and unwind from life and the pressures of life. We need to do that. But not to become your own goal in life, or you do it based on how you feel it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this new age spirituality, obviously Islamically, is rejected. But if it's done correctly, then we have no issue with it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. And thank you very much, Brother Yasser. We have, ended, in fact, the criticism of the movie Celestine Prophecy, directed by Armand Mastroianni, produced in 2006 in this episode of Viewpoint, the movie critique program. And thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Relax your focus just a bit. What do you see?
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the verses of the Holy Quran that talk about humanity and human being and different functions, different aspects and dimensions of a human being. And in the previous episode, we ended up talking about intellect, and we were reading some of the hadith related to the verses of the Holy Quran. We ended up talking about the relationship between intellect and haya, sense of shame and embarrassment. And we said there is a certain level of haya that is exclusively for human beings. And we said that this is according to the hadith that we read in the previous episode. It shows that that level of haya, if a person doesn't have it, that makes him, that excludes him from the community of mankind. And yes, apparently he's a human being, but in essence, he's not included in the addressees of the divine message. So today and in this episode, we have a very beautiful hadith from Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam that explains the story when Jibreel came to the Prophet with a message. And Ali alayhi salam, قال هبت جبرائيل عليه السلام. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Jibreel came down to the Prophet, to the Prophet Adam alayhi salam, ala Adam alayhi salam. فقال يا آدم. Jibreel said, O Adam, إني أمرت أن أخيرك. And we know these things Imam Ali narrates from the Prophet. This is all the things, the teachings that the Prophet had taught Imam Ali as the interpretation of the verses of the Holy Quran. There are different, multiple hadith that the Imam says, there was no verse revealed to the Prophet until I wouldn't leave the Prophet until I have asked him all the related stories and sha'n al-nuzul, why the occasion of the revelation and all the things that he had. So he had one large book of the interpretation of the verses of the Holy Quran directly from the Prophet. So this is from the teachings of the Prophet. So says فَقَالَ يَا Adam, Jibreel told Adam, O Adam, إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُخَيَّرَكَ وَاحِدَةً مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. I have been commanded, obviously by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make you choose between three options, to take one option, to select one thing from among three options. أُخَيِّرَكَ وَاحَدَةً مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. You have the right to choose one. فَاخْتَرْهَا. Select it. وَدَعْ إِثْنَتَيْنِ. And leave the other two. فقال له آدم. Then Prophet Adam said, يا جبرائيل وما الثلاث؟ So what are the three options? فقال العقل والحياة والدين. جبرائيل said, these three are these. Intellect, sense of shame, and religion. Which one do you like? You can only take one. فقال له آدم. Adam said, يا جبرائيل. فقال آدم عليه السلام, إني قد اخترت العقل. I have selected the intellect. فقال جبرائيل للحياة والدين. Then Jibreel told to Haya and Deen. This could be metaphorical. This could be real. We don't actually know how Haya and Deen could be addressed and talked to. This could be metaphorical. This could be real, depending on the reality of the situation, which is far from our understanding. So Jibreel said to them, "In sarafa wa da'a. Okay, you can go. Leave the intellect alone." فقال يا جبرائيل إنا أمرنا أن نكون مع العقل حيث كان. They said, O Jibreel, we have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with intellect wherever it is. This is very beautiful. This is very beautiful. We will have a break. We come back. We should cover this part with more focus.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we were reading this beautiful hadith. The story goes like this, that Jibreel came to Adam alayhi salam and said, you have to choose one from the three options. And the options were intellect, religion, and a sense of shame, haya. And Adam alayhi salam chose intellect. And Jibreel told to the other two, you can go now. And they said, no. We have been commanded and nakuna ma'ala to be with intellect wherever, to accompany intellect wherever it is. Haythakan. Qal fasha'nakuma wa'araj. Jibreel said, as you wish, as you've been commanded, carry it out. So it shows that if a person has intellect, he has to have two other things as well. One is religion, the other is sense of shame. Now, this religion could be having the sense of a general way of life, because we know that deen in Arabic means a lifestyle, a way of living. And in that general interpretation, deen here means consistency in lifestyle, to have principles for one's life. But then, because we have other ahadith that talks about the relationship between true aql, true rationality, and true religion, this could also have the meaning of having specifically the religion, divine, correct religion, which is the religion of fitrah, the religion of Islam. So now we don't want to talk about the reconcilability between reason and religion, reason and revelation. We want to talk about the inherent relationship or the necessary relationship between intellect and sense of shame, according to this verse, Al-Haya, which again, with this story that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam tells from Prophet Adam alayhi salam, shows that this is very important component in human soul, sense of shame. Now, as I said, it's not always a good haya. Sometimes haya and sense of shame, feeling embarrassed, is bad. It's not correct. When, for example, when a person needs to defend himself, there is no haya there. When a person needs to learn something, some people, they say, okay, I feel embarrassed to sit in this class to ask that question. There's a beautiful hadith from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says, if a person does not stand up with the difficulty of learning for 1 hour, he will remain in the humility of ignorance for the rest of his life. If a person does not accept dhullu sa'at al-ta'allum, 1 hour of learning, yes, it has some humility. But if you don't accept that, though, that humility, you should accept a long life of humiliation of ignorance. Which one is better? So you ask one question. So there is no embarrassment in asking. There is no embarrassment in learning. There is no embarrassment in defending the truth.